Thanks for joining us and listening to this sermon from Pompey Community Church. Our desire is that you can hear the Word of God and the Gospel preached wherever you are right now. We pray that this message will lift you up and help you on your journey as you grow closer and closer to Christ.
If you were here last week, you know that Alexis, who introduced himself as one of our elders, shared with us the importance of a vision and the biblical basis for it, and how the Bible shares how people received a vision that God gave to them. And if you're here, you know that he shared from the book of Nehemiah and how God had given him the vision to rebuild the walls around the rebuilt temple. And they had built and kind of let it slide for a while. And Nehemiah says that can't happen. God tells him to go build the walls. And if you didn't hear the message, I'd really encourage you to go online, poppychurch.org, and go to our sermons, and you can listen to it. Today, I want to share with you what we believe is God's vision for us here at PCC. And we're going to give you a copy of it at the end of the service, because if we give it to you now, you'd be reading it and wouldn't listen to me. And I thought, hey, why don't we just let me talk first, and then you can take it. But what we want you to do is take the vision home. We want you to pray over it. We want you to read it. We want you to, if you've got questions about it, write those down, become familiar with it. But even probably more important is decide what you are going to do to be a part of making this vision be fulfilled at Pompey Community Church. So before I share it, I really want to give you some background, because I think it helps you to understand how we got to this place. It became very clear to us that we needed and wanted to know what God's vision was for us here at Berwyn Road and Pompey Hill, in the town, Fabius Pompey community. And we kind of had something that started that up for us. The catalyst was some changes that we were making in how we govern the church, which is like, we just love to talk about church governance, don't we? But the reality is, it's really, really important that we know what we're doing. So some of you remember that we made a substantial transition into this thing called policy governance. And, you know, as the church grew from where we were over in on Academy Street with just a few people to over 200 people, you really have to do it differently. And really, the prime reason for us to do this was to define the roles between the OC, which is our leadership board, and between me as the lead pastor, so that we wouldn't get in each other's way and that we could work together in unity. And because of lack of structure and lack of definition, we really were struggling with that. So we didn't know what we're doing, which is a fair thing to say. So we hired a consultant, a man by the name of Terry Hippenhammer, a man that I truly have come to love very much. And I won't tell you all the stuff about policy governance, but the very first thing that Terry asked us, he wanted to know if we had a mission, a vision, and values statement. And I'm going, oh, I've heard about these things. But he believed without those things in place, we wouldn't know where we're going. We wouldn't know how well we're doing to get there. And we also wouldn't know how well we're doing it, treating each other and deciding how we were going to do what we're going to do. And that's really the value statement. Well, at least with Terry, I was glad to say, hey, we have a mission statement. I thought I could get off hook just a little bit. And way back in the old church, in the parsonage, in the kitchen, there's a group of us that sat around, and we came up with our mission statement. And if you look at the front of your bulletins, I don't know if it's on there this week, but we have it on there most of the time. But the reality is our mission statement is just a rewording of what we know as the Great Commission, the final instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. And the reality is it wasn't just to the disciples, it was to you and to me as well. So I want to read the Great Commission. It's kind of the basis of a lot of that we do around here. But Matthew 28, starting verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I love this last part because we need this. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the ages. We're not left alone. So Jesus is saying here, in your going about in life, as you are going and doing whatever it is that you do, we are to be in the process of one thing as a follower of Jesus Christ. We are to be doing what? Making disciples. That's the charge. And as we make disciples, we're to then teach them, to help them to understand what their faith is about, and we're to baptize. So we're to be able to help them to be able to understand what they are supposed to be doing. And here's the thing that I think it's really important for us to understand. It's not just my job as your pastor. It's not just the job of the elders. It's every single one of you who identify yourself as a follower of Jesus. And if we are not making disciples, we are not being the church. And that's a scary thing. We want to make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. So we had our mission statement, but we didn't have a vision statement or value statement. So we could say, how bad. But in reality, we were kind of in the majority of churches. A guy by the name of George Barna, he is a researcher, a statistician within the church world. He did a survey, and he found out that only 2% of pastors could clearly identify and know what the vision was for their church. Only 2%. And we said, you know what? We do not want to be part of the 98% anymore. In fact, we can't be. We just paid the consultants. We better do something about it, right? Probably. I hope that wasn't our only reason, for sure. And so what happened is the OC then entrusted to me as the pastor of bringing the vision to PCC, to bring it to them and ultimately to every single one of you in the church. I think I might have said this last week, but I'm very humbled by the responsibility that they gave me. Because I'm not a lot smarter than anybody in this room. I'm not a lot more spiritual. I don't have the inside scoop with God. I don't have a magic ball that I can shake and look into to know what it is that God specifically wants for us. But in our research and in our studies and in our reading, we determined and felt very strongly that the task of determining the vision for the church is for the lead pastor. And the lead pastor was to seek it out and to bring the vision to the church that God had given to me. And so that was not done in a vacuum. I didn't go out one day into my holy mount and write a statement and bring it back. It was in a lot of work with a lot of people, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. So I needed some help. I had no idea what I was doing in this process. So I told the OC I'm going to put together a vision team. And because Alexis had been in another church and been through the process, I asked him to facilitate that team for us. And on that team, there was Alexis, myself, Lynn McLaren, Beck, and Jeff Kovitz, who's no longer here. He was one of our elders, and he left. So we started meeting. And we met. I have no idea how many times we met, but we met a lot. And when we got together, we always prayed. We did all kinds of things. We studied the scriptures. We studied Nehemiah. We prayed. We read books. We went online. I went away 2 different times for extended periods of time just to pray because I said, God, I have no idea what it is that you want for us here. And so what I would do when I would go away, they said, Wendell, just start writing. Cathart all over the paper. Just write it out and write and write and write and write and write and write. And I'd fill up these yellow pads. Then I'd bring it back to the team and they would ask questions of clarification. They would wordsmith it. They would simplify it. They would challenge, is that really vision? Is that mission? Are you off here? And so after doing that, I'd go back and write some more, cathart some more, bring it back. And after a period of time, we got to this place where we ended up with what we believe was God's mission, vision for us. So I presented to the Oversight Council, and with some minor tweaks on wording, because we have some wonderful wordsmiths and people who love to have words, they approved the vision. And you say, well, why would the OC approve it? Well, in our governance, the OC is responsible for the fulfillment of the vision at Pompey Community Church. It is their job to make sure that we are being the church that God wants us to do. And so what they do is they give me the responsibility and the authority then to carry out whatever we need to do to get our vision filled. And so with the help of staff, both paid and unpaid, and myself, we are given the job to carry out the work that's here. No pressure on me whatsoever with this, none whatsoever. I cried a few times. So I just think it was really, really important that you understand that this is not just a statement that popped out of the air. It was a statement that we have been working on for a long time. And one of the things Alexis continued to remind us, it's going to take time. Some of us are get-her-done kind of folks. We want to get her done and get out there. Well, we believe we waited in the right time, in the right place, and now we are presenting it to you. So what I'm going to do is I've asked the OC members, who are the ones who are responsible to make sure this happens, to be part of revealing the vision to you. At the end of this, we've come up with a statement that you will have tattooed. No, you'll memorize a little short one. There'll be little tests for you. It'll be very simple, but it should be able to help you to kind of grasp what it is that we're saying. So I'm going to read the basic vision itself, and then the OC members are going to come up. They're going to turn from their chairs and read different parts, and then I'll make a few comments and wrap us up. And for the following 2 weeks after that, I will kind of go into how will we do this section and just share some of the things that have been on my mind and why we believe this is what God's vision is. Okay? So, here we go. I don't know, is it up there? Yep. Vision, our God-inspired faith dream for our church. God's vision for Pompey Community Church is to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to the Southern Hills area with emphasis on the Fabius Pompey community. PCC has been called to minister to the overlooked, unnoticed, and underserved. The love and grace of Jesus compel us to be his hands and feet, sharing the transformational power of the gospel in both word and deed with the least of these. And of course, that's the scripture in Matthew. We will share the good news in our personal stories while assisting in meeting people's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs, growing as disciples and disciplers. And there is where I think we're going to see that last statement of being disciples. Are you being discipled? And being disciplers, are you in the process of helping someone else to become a disciple? Because what did our Great Commission say? Go and make what? Disciples. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's the basic statement. So how will we do this? There's two sections in here. Brian's going to, it is Brian, right? Brian's going to start by reading, and if he gets done, I'm going to have a little comment, or actually after Dave reads his. So Brian, would you stand up and read your part?
So we're under the section here, how will we do this? We will be intentional about developing genuine relationships with those who don't know how much God loves them. Neighbors, friends, co-workers, family, and more. We won't just preach the gospel, we will show the gospel in action with authentic love, caring, and transparency. We will love them enough to share our story and the news of salvation, as our story is Jesus' story in us. God loves them with an unfailing love, as seen in Psalms and Isaiah. So will we. God is not willing that any should perish, as he states in 2 Peter. Neither are we. So I would encourage, you know, look up these verses and find the basis behind our statements here when you go home. We will equip and encourage the body to employ relational approaches in reaching out and connecting with those that don't know Jesus, being salt and light in every area God places each of us. We will help the overlooked, unnoticed, and undeserved in our community. In our community.
Underserved.
They are deserving, and we're going to serve them, yes. In our community, whether directly through partnerships with other organizations or by providing resources and referrals, we will be Jesus' hands and feet to those in need.
This is Dave Colici, if you didn't know. I'm sorry. I was going to introduce. That's Brian. This is Dave.
We will welcome and or invite other churches in the area to collaborate in serving those in need and reaching out to the community where appropriate. This is not a pursuit of ecumenicalism, but rather a way to increase our reach, impact, and access to the community where it makes sense. Our ultimate dream, though the execution of this vision doesn't depend on a physical facility, our ultimate dream would be to establish a hope center where we would consolidate resources to serve the community in physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual ways.
Okay, awesome. We'll just stop there for a second. Knowing your neighbors, of course, we're told to what? Love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Does anybody look around? You're in front of you, behind you, in school, at church. And we're gonna help. Our desire is to help each of us know how do we take our relationships with our lost friends who don't know Jesus yet and be able to open up the door to talk about spiritual things. We'll never have to beat them over the head with it because that's not how God wants us to do it. But we're going to figure out ways to do that. We're going to figure out the needs in our community that are being are not being served. And we've started that process with the Power Pack meal and the clusters right now and doing all kinds of different things. But there's so much more we believe that we can do just to be able to show God's love, but not just show it, also be able to talk about the change that Jesus can make in somebody's life. We don't believe we can do it together. We don't believe we're the only ones who have this desire to care for. So we know we have to work in conjunction with the other churches. But we want to make sure that why we're doing it is to help people ultimately to come to know Christ. And then this vision is something that for a long, 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 long time I've talked about this, but wouldn't it be awesome to have a place where those who come for a meal or those who come to get food would be able to walk in and feel like they've been welcomed as somebody shopping at Wegmans or Target, a place they could come in, have somebody to talk to pray with, a place where they could get all their needs met. I would love something like that. I have no idea when, where, how, but if we get to that place, we're going to talk about that. So helping people to know Jesus, very, very, very important. All right, secondly, though, Todd's going to come and read the second part. And as I was thinking about this morning, I wonder sometimes if I should have flipped how we put this in there, because I believe without us becoming fully devoted followers of Christ, we're not going to catch the same vision that we need to have to reach people for Christ. But just something I thought this morning as I was praying.
We will foster an intentionally organic environment that challenges and equips the body to grow in discipleship, becoming more effective disciple makers. We will encourage each other to be hearers and doers of the word, making disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everyone should have the privilege of helping lead someone to Jesus.
Amen. I think this might be a place where you're going to maybe feel a little bit of loving pressure from me and from the elders. The reality of helping each person to know where you are spiritually and what we can do to come alongside you to help you to take the next steps to be more of who he wants you to be. So if you feel a little pressure, tell me, and I'm going to say, great. No, I won't. I'll be very, very nice with that. So, all right, and then Alexis, a few bullets that are underneath this.
We will help new believers grow in obedience and surrender to our Lord Jesus Christ, helping them understand the foundations of their faith and their calling as followers of Jesus. By proactively supporting them and providing opportunities to identify and use their spiritual gifts and talents, PCC will enable them to serve people and share their faith with others. We will exhort and equip mature believers to grow further in their intimacy with the Lord and the deep things of God, stretching their faith in spiritual and biblical knowledge, obedience, and bold action. We will promote leadership development, providing training and encouraging participation in and leadership of ministry opportunities both within and outside the church.
And then Robert will read a...
We will cultivate discipleship relationships with other believers, primarily but not exclusively, through growth groups. Relationships are one of the most important ways God has provided for believers to grow as we disciple, encourage, inspire, share with, and challenge each other in community as iron sharpens iron, Proverbs. We will encourage regular attenders to get connected to small groups. These groups will be like the church described in Acts, meeting each other's needs, praying for one another, challenging one another, and growing together in Christ. Growth groups will seek to impact their neighborhoods as the hands and feet of Jesus in their local communities. They will also be a training ground, helping to equip individual members to share their testimonies and the gospel in their daily environments.
And the last statement is our ultimate dream that every member be fully connected in meaningful spiritual relationships. No member will be left alone in the body of Christ. We need each other, don't we? We need each other. No such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We need to be able to figure out how we can encourage each other, because there's days you're going to wake up and you will not feel like doing the things that God wants you to do. And that's when somebody can come along and lovingly, whatever it takes to get you to want to step into that. I've been the pastor here for the last 17 years. And when I came to our church, it was very, very different than what we have today. It was over on Academy Street. 30, 40 people, and there's days and there were less than that. The people who called Pompey United their church loved their church. They loved each other. They were proud of their church. They loved the community they lived in, and they did not want to see the doors of that church closed. But there was something that was missing, and that the thing that was missing was the message of the gospel. And it was the hope that Jesus, it's the hope that Jesus gives us when we confess our sins and we allow him to take over our lives, to take lead, to be the Lord of our lives. And it's realizing that without what Jesus did on the cross, we would be separated from God for eternity. And when we simply started preaching the gospel, we saw amazing things start to happen. Puck, which is what I called it, Pompey United Church, that's on the back of all of our chairs, wanted a pastor and they didn't want their doors to close. And they worked hard and the people who were there sacrificed to make that happen. They did not want to see that happen. What they didn't realize at that point was what they really needed was they needed a personal relationship with Jesus more than they needed to keep the doors open. Because that's what the gospel is about. And I'm really glad that the door stayed open because we wouldn't be here today, right? But I'm even gladder, if that's the right word, my spell check didn't take it out, that many people came to understand their need for Jesus. They came to a place of understanding that. And Brian and Debbie Rapp were the very first people that I got to share with and pray with and watch them ask Jesus Christ to come into their lives. Brian was the board chairman of our church. And we went and we prayed and they received, and that's what the church is about. Praise God, praise God, praise God. See, in our community, there are people who have needs, real needs. And I believe there's so many out there, and all we got to do is start figuring out what they are and start meeting them, and we're going to be surprised. There are hungry people. There are people who can't afford to pay their bills. There are people out there whose relationships are falling apart. There's marriages falling apart. And every one of those needs are very, very real. And we want to make a difference in some way of serving them and helping them out. But the reality is they need something even more than what their need is. And the biggest need they have is to understand how much God loves them and wants to have a personal relationship with them. So, yes, we're going to offer a cup of cold water. But every cup of cold water we offer, we're going to be praying that God would open up the door for us to be able to talk to them. We'll offer a meal. We're going to pray for ways that we can demonstrate God's love in action by the things that we do. And we want to, and the wording here, we want to gain the privilege. We want to earn the right to be able to let them see Jesus shine through us in what we do. So we could just stand up at the mall. We could stand here at the corner of Berwyn and 20. We could go on the S-curves. We could get a microphone out. We could scream. I don't think that's going to work. Or we could love the people that God has placed in our paths, and we could develop relationships with them to show them Christ's loves and be Jesus' hands, his feet, and his voice. See, I think that's the difference, being the voice. There's a lot of great agencies out there doing great things, offering water and food. But being his voice is going to be willing to share their need of salvation. And that's what we're going to be. That's what we're going to do. How are we going to do that? I can't do it by myself. How are we going to do it is every single person sitting in this room who makes Pompey Community Church their home, you're going to be asking yourselves, what am I doing to become more like Jesus? And what am I doing to be his hands and feet to my neighbors in our community and sharing the hope of the gospel? This is, you know, as we think about it, we've lived as a church who really says we care for our neighborhood, and we started doing that. It's only just the beginning, so there's more. And I think the biggest challenge is about our walk with Christ and our willingness to be able to be changed by him and allow him then to use us in ways. So we're going to talk about this for a couple more weeks. Here's a kind of a summary statement that here's what it is. We offer God's hope by living out our beliefs and being the hands and feet and voice of Jesus to our community. Next week it needs to be memorized, okay? No, just extra points if you do. We offer God's hope by living out our beliefs and being the hands and feet and voice of Jesus to our community. Would you commit to praying for that vision to be accomplished through you and whatever it is, the gifts that God's given to you? Please do. Let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the vision that you've given to us. Thank you that whatever you've given to us, you've also given us the ability and the wisdom we're going to need and the strength, or at least the ability to come to you and to seek you for everything we'll need to carry it out. And I pray that you'd help each person in this room. Lord, help me to know my part and then to do my part and to do it with great joy and excitement. I thank you, God, that you've placed us in our community. I thank you that there are people that we can make a difference with and that we can love and we can care for. And Lord, no matter what their choices are, we're still going to love them. We're still going to serve them. We're still going to care for them. But we're going to be your light. We're going to let your light shine. And we're going to get into our community, out of the building, and let people see you in action through us.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast to get all of the PCC sermons and visit us at pompeychurch.org. From everyone here at Pompey Community Church, we hope this sermon blessed you and that you have a great day.